all those years. Yes, sir. That is a big job to take on, and we do need to be careful with who we put in that position, because you got to make sure that you got time to do it. And Brother Rouse, I'm sure, will be a good asset to be able to make sure we do everything properly and make sure we have everything lined up right. But I appreciate your years of doing that and being willing to do that, because it's tough. It's tough being over all the money. That's hard. And I appreciate all the years that you've done that. I know the church does. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, I've gone over this sermon quite a few times over this past week, and I wasn't going to do it because it's not really a nice sermon. You know, Christmas time, you want to be nicer and you want to kind of handle things a different way, but I just felt like it's what God laid on my heart. So if it comes across a little bit harder, that's just the way that it is. I don't know what to tell you. It was kind of hard on me this week studying it. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and don't forget next week that we are going to have the special service, the one service for Christmas at 10 o'clock. And there are a few people that I need to ask some stuff for next week. So if after we get done, I know there's a little business meeting they need to do. Brother Tim's going to do that. And but after that is over, please don't everybody leave, because I need to see, I know I need to see those two kids in the back. I need to see you, and I need to see y'all for sure. So the younger ones, don't leave, okay? If you're younger than like 30, don't just run out the door. Just hang on just for a minute. I'll be right back, okay? I got to ask y'all something, and it's not anything real important. It's not like a business meeting. It's just I need to ask y'all something about next week. So please don't run off and leave, okay? Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just be with us this morning as we preach, Lord. I pray that you just be able to give me the words that I need to say, Lord. Be able to help me be able to preach the Word of God clearly, Lord. I pray that you just get me out of the way, Lord. It's all about you. It isn't about me. I pray that you just help the Word of God help somebody this morning, Lord. If somebody's not saved, Lord, I pray that they'd get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. That's the most important thing that can happen here this morning. And I pray that you just be with us as we go through this service, Lord. Keep us safe as we go through our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Vanities of vanity. All is vanity. I was reading through those scriptures, and I'm seeing as Solomon is writing this stuff down, and most people in life today would tell you that they just have nothing to live for. It's kind of amazing that that's what society has come to. Nothing to live for. And it's really somewhat our fault too. Because we'll say we have something to live for. We're Christians, right? We're saved by the grace of God, going to heaven, couldn't get out if we wanted to, ready to go. Ephesians 4:30, sealed to the day of redemption. I mean, all the scriptures you can think of. That's what we are. And we have something to live for, but we don't live for Him. So then you've got the world out there that says, "I ain't got nothing to live for." Why? Because they have no hope in anything anyways. Most of them are dying and going to hell as it is. And it's hard to grasp that, because you sit back and you look at statistics and you look at all these things going on in the world today, and everybody's on a prescription drug and everybody's got to cope with it some way. You got to drink your mind to clear things up in yourself. And I'm not one of those preachers that get up and say, "Oh, you can't take prescription medication." Okay, I want to make that very, very clear here, okay? I understand there's chemical imbalances and people have to take medication for some stuff. And I think it's wrong for a preacher to get up here and start blam-blasting, if you take a pill, you're dying and going, that's garbage. That's legalistic garbage is all that is. But if you're taking it just to cope because you don't want to be in reality, that's wrong. That's wrong. If you have to turn up a bottle every night just so that you can cope, that's wrong. That's wrong. I ain't preaching against drinking and smoking and all that kind of stuff. I've told you before. Smoking, all that stuff won't send you to hell, folks. Just get you to heaven a lot quicker. You choose to do it, you choose to do it. I will say this. If you choose to do it, be man enough to do it, though. Don't hide it from the preacher every time he comes around. Just be man enough to accept it, okay? I'm so sick of that garbage. You walk into a restaurant, somebody's got a glass of wine, and they will just absolutely break their arm to try to hide it from you. And you done seen it. Hey, behind the church, smoking a cigarette like this right here. Preacher comes up, they'll put the whole pack out, stomping it. Good night, man. Just have enough guts to say this is what I do, you know. I'd at least respect you for it. Here's the thing. You say you ain't got nothing to live for and that's how you cope with it. Maybe you need to start reading the Bible a little bit. Maybe you ought to just pick it up every once in a while and read it and actually let it do something in your life. Because you see, that's what we've turned away from. We've turned away from the Word of God and we've decided to just say vanity, it's all vanity. There's nothing to live for anymore. The ones that are Christians, if you try to talk to somebody that's lost, dying, and going to hell, they don't care to listen to you anymore. So there's no sense in talking about it, right? That's the life you live. I don't want to tell anybody about God because why? They'll shut the door in your face. They'll tell you you're crazy. I don't want to say that I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Why? Because they won't come to church anymore. Got to build a crowd. I'm here to tell you right now, I don't know if you know this, but we got more people than we did when I started. If you think that's me, it's not me. Is it the book? I believe so. I believe you just preach the book, God will take care of the people. It's just what I believe, okay? And God will give us who we need. And guess what? God will get rid of the ones we don't. That's just the way that it works. God will take care of all of that. It's not all vanity. This world that you live in is not all that bad. And you get to thinking about how you get to live in a free country. And I get maybe it ain't what it used to be. And I understand we can get on politics and we can bash this side and bash that side and talk about this problem and that problem. But the reality of it is, it's still better than anywhere else. At its worst, it's better than anywhere else. I'm smart enough to know this too, though. In the end of it all, we're not talked about. I don't mean to burst your bubble. Well, we ain't mentioned at the end of all this. So guess what? That means things have to wax worse and worse. And I understand things get worse and worse. That makes life hard, doesn't it? Makes things complicated. And I hate to see this world die and lost and going to hell. And I love preaching, teaching dispensations. I love teaching Bible. But I'm here to tell you right now, when you get away to just preaching the gospel, you're doing something wrong. When it's all this and none of this, it's wrong. You got to have both. You got to preach the gospel every once in a while, okay? And I think I make that pretty clear. I enjoy preaching the gospel. I don't care if all of you saved, you need to hear it again. Why? Because it may compel you to actually go out there and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. That's my goal. That's what I want the church to do. That's why I believe it grows. We could go out here and knock on every... Well, I don't know how y'all knock on doors here. That don't seem to be... That seems difficult. Y'all got to drive like a half a mile to get between anywhere. Y'all be better off putting mailers out. But, I mean, you get the thing where you could go to every door in the county and you could knock on them and you could say, hey, come to our church, and you could do all that. And you know what happens most of the time? Nobody shows up. Okay? Just reality. Most people don't. I mean, Brother Randy didn't even go talk to his neighbors. They just showed up. Finally got in on that joke. I have been trying to get in on that joke. That's why I'm preaching. Man, saw my opportunity and took it. Hey, I hear you. I'm off of it. I'm sorry, brother. God sends who He wants to, even when we don't talk to Him. I believe God honors when you go talk to somebody, even if they don't show up. God will send somebody else. I believe that's how that works. There's no excuse for not telling people about Jesus Christ. I believe if you tell somebody at a restaurant or at Walmart or whatever, hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? I believe you'll get some reward somewhere down the line. It may not be that one, but it'll be somewhere down the line. Trust me, it won't come back void. It never does. But this life we live in, and everybody's just got nothing to live for anymore. It's just vanity. It's pointless. You got to think about the context here. It says the preacher. That's funny, right? The preacher. The preacher. The son of David. King in Jerusalem. Have you ever thought that's the wisest man that's ever lived? The wisest man that's ever lived. The preacher is up there saying, hey, it's vanity. It's all vanity. Ain't nobody got nothing to live for. Ain't no reason. He's telling you these things. Why? Because he understands the state of what's going on in this day and age. I understand what's going on in this day and age. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I left both my bottles of water down there. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's the day and age you live in. They worship the creature more than the Creator itself. What is everybody doing now? It's all about you, right? It's all about them. It's all about what they can get out of life. That's why they live whatever they want to live. And you can read through all these scriptures right here in Romans chapter 1. You can get you a whole lot of good out of that. Why? Because he starts listing some things. Some immoral things. Some things that are really bad that you shouldn't be doing. That's the reason why you have this queer crowd. Yeah. I'm not for it, okay? And I don't apologize for it. It's an abomination to God. It's what it is. Is it disgusting? Most definitely. It's wrong. I don't apologize for saying that. It's wrong. But you got this crowd over here, they're just doing whatever they want to do. What have they done? They have destroyed everything now. You say it don't bring on anything. It's just, they can just sit over here, and as long as they just leave, it's fine. No. No, it's not just fine. It's never fine to be against God. Never. And it brings on other things every single time. You don't believe me? Go read about Sodom and Gomorrah. You ever thought about it? Go read what happened to them, because they all got fried. Okay? There was a lot of fire and brimstone that came down on them because of the same immorality. And you think America will be here at the end of it? And this is a wicked place. Why is it wicked? Because we turned away from God so much. It's amazing that you can drive from Marbury, Alabama to Red Level, Alabama, an hour and 30 minutes, and you can see all them churches. And they range from them really nice big ones to them really small ones. And you can drive by them, and there's a bunch of cars in the parking lots. Okay, it ain't like they ain't people going to them. And you would think, with all those people going to church, that this place would not be the way that it is. You would think. You'd think people have more standards than that. Right? But it's all vanity. Ain't got nothing to live for, right? The world ain't got nothing to live for, and you ain't got no reason to live either. You just waiting to get out. The only difference in you and them is you got some hope in eternity, and they have no hope in eternity. But you live the life the same way because you don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ. You don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ. That's a problem in this day and age. That's a major problem in this day and age. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." What does it profit you? Christianity, man, is just, it's different. It's not like it used to be 20, 30 years ago. I'm not talking about just crowds. Crowds are one thing. Man, people used to come to church because it was the right thing to do. I'm sure that at one point in time, back when your grandfather started it, wasn't in a missionary Baptist church or a missionary church, something like that? I'm sure when he started it, people just came to church because that's what you did. Now people don't even come to church because that's just what you do. People come when it's convenient. Amen. You got a Christmas program, boy, you'll pack it out. And I ain't against Christmas programs, but last week we had a lot of folk. Had a singing. I'm not against them. I was the one who said we needed to have one. Guess what? You did too. Brother Tim, he wants to sing it all the time. He needs to start singing is what he needs to start doing. Singings, man, I love them. I want to have more of them. I like it, okay? Don't get me wrong. I love all that stuff. I love having other preachers in, even if they are my dad. Ain't nothing wrong with y'all hearing something different every once in a while. Y'all going to get tired of me eventually. But guess what? That doesn't mean that that's the only time you should come to church is because it's special. You should come to church even when it's not a special day. You should come to church because it's church. You should come to church because you want to learn something out of the Word of God. You should come to church because, hey, these are good people to fellowship with. Y'all are good people. Did you know that? You're good people. Even Thomas, sometimes. Brother Tim is helping me this morning, boy. Even Thomas, you're good people to be around. We have fun. I'm sure y'all had a great time Tuesday. Amen. I wish I could have been here, but I live an hour and a half away. It's tough. But y'all had a good time. Why? Because it's a good place and it's good people to be around. Some of the best friends you ought to have are in church. I truly believe that. I think some of your best friends ought to be right here in church. Because they should be like-minded. You shouldn't have to worry about people in church not believing in the things of God. You should be kind of equally yoked somewhere in there, right? But we've had this problem with church now that Christianity has gotten to where it's just something you do, and if it's not a big ordeal or a big special thing, it doesn't really matter. So when you sit there and you read verses like Mark chapter 8 verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You read those scriptures and you go, you could have everything this world has to offer, but it doesn't make any difference if you lose what is important. If you're not telling a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ, guess what? It isn't important. We could come in here and have all the singings and all the programs, and I wish we could have a program. I wish we could have had, like, kids up here for Christmas. Like, I wish that. I wish that, you know, in the new year that we could take youth on youth activities and we could take youth to conferences where you can actually hear some really good, have some fun stuff to do. That's stuff that you should do. It's stuff that's good to do. I think that you ought to be able to do those things. You ought to do them properly. And here's the thing. But now we've gotten to where we just, it's all vanity. We don't care. We show up if we want to. What do you think that generation's going to do? I sit out and look at the crowd, okay? I got some elderly people. That's fine. But y'all are going to die one day. Now, I hope God comes back, okay? I hope God comes back and none of us got to worry about all that. But if He tarries, you'll pass away. What happens when the pews start dwindling down? Then who fills their spot? Is the next generation going to keep going? Trust me, it's hard to find preachers. It's real hard to find members. You can't find preachers. You sure can't find members. Because you ain't got nothing to live for. This is kind of where it hit me when I was studying. And I want you to see it, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. It's got all over me, and I hope it just gets all over you and sticks with you as long as it did me, about a week and a half. I hope you can't get it off of your mind this next week. Romans chapter 9, verse 3. Paul speaking here, he said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Man, did you get that? I wish myself accursed. You understand what he's saying? He'd give up his for them. He'd give up his salvation and go to hell for somebody else's life to not have to go there. If it'd save his brethren, if it would save the entire world, guess what? I would take hell if it would save everybody else. Would you? I sat back and thought about it this week. I really truthfully did. I kind of reflected on it. You know, when you do something like that, boy, it'll really open your eyes. Because if God walked in here right now and said, "Okay, Chip, you can die and go to hell. Spend an eternity in hell. And everybody in this room gets to go to heaven if you do that." I don't think so. I'm an honest preacher. I ain't going to lie to you for nothing. I love every single one of you. But I don't know that I'd do that for you. Why? Because I'm more worried about me. I thought about my kids. Yeah, I would for my kids. I would for my wife. But shouldn't I want to do it for you too? And you? And you? And him? And her? Shouldn't I want to do it for the person I don't know outside that door? You see, it gets a little easier when you start thinking about it, and I sit back and go, well, I could die for the people in my church. You're right, I could do that. The ones that are sitting here every week, I could do that for them because they're faithful and I want to make sure that they know Jesus Christ. But when you start talking about them people you don't know, what about them? Now here's the thing, we can't do that. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't die and go to hell in your place. I can't do that. But if he was willing to die for me, why can't I live for him just a little bit? Why can't I just sit there and say, you know, I take a little bit of my time, my personal time, and be able to share Jesus Christ with somebody? Because you see, these little kids right here, they're important to me. They're important to me because that's the future. I want one of them to be preachers and preachers' wives and good members, treasurers. Right, brother? We've got to have treasurers. We've got to have deacons. We've got to have all of these things. We've got to have people that put bags together. We've got to have people that will stand up and say, hey, let's do something in the community. You have to have those people. They're important. But if everything's about me, it's just vanity. It's all vanity. You got nothing to live for, right? This morning, do you have something to live for? Well, you get outside of yourself just a little bit and start thinking about somebody that's lost, dying, and going to hell. Just a little bit. It's got to be somebody more than just me. I can't do it all. I find that out week in and week out. I cannot do everything. I do as much as I can, but I can't do it all. My dad said something last week, and I don't know if you caught it, but it's good to even ask your church members if you're saved, even the ones you really know. Why? Sometimes just to get their answers. Sometimes they give you something just in their answer. You may know they're going to say yes, but boy, they might just get excited about it every once in a while. It's good to ask people. And you know what I found out? If the older people will ask, the younger people will ask. Because y'all got it tough. You got it real tough. This generation right here, boy, I feel for you. That's hard. I thought in 2006 it was difficult. As a senior in high school, I thought, boy, the stuff we deal with is just ridiculous. My dad don't have no idea. He's totally disconnected. We in 2022, fixing to be 2023, and it's gotten worse. Way worse. Why? Because everybody's worried about me. Ain't got nothing to live for. Might as well just do my own thing. Don't be that way. Start living for God. Start trying to change your life to live for God and do the things that God wants you to do. Start trying to get in the Word of God and studying it so that you'll know what you believe and why you believe it, so that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody and you can do it correctly. You can do it and not have to worry about whether you did the right thing or not. Just give them the gospel. Tell them it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then say, I've got something to live for because I'm telling everybody else about Jesus Christ. That's what I'm living for, is to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. That is my goal. That is my commission. That is what I am commanded to do. That is my reasonable service. It's just to share Jesus Christ with somebody. They may not have anything to live for right now, but if you'll get something to live for inside this church, then you can give it to them and then they'll have something to live for too. Kind of look in yourself this morning. Think, hey, bless you. Should have said amen on top of that. Get out there and do something for God. He loved you enough to die for you. I think you should just love Him enough to be able to tell somebody else about Him. This morning, stand to your feet. Miss Barb can play something. She likes Christmas music. You can play Chris. I don't care what you play. Play whatever you want to.